I think it very much hinders these efforts. You know, it doesn't have to be OFPP. It can be GSA. It can be someone at DOD. But you have to have a political leader in place, particularly, I think, with such an ambitious agenda in procurement policy. Somebody has to be there that understands it and can lead it and can take charge.
So why do you think there is no pick for this office yet?
Well, the only thing that I can discern from talking to people is that most of the people who really know what they're doing in procurement policy, that have the expertise and the understanding, are in industry. You know, they've either worked as lobbyists or they've worked in companies, and I think the restrictions on hiring and hiring people that are lobbyists have been very harmful for finding somebody for this job. And you know, for better or worse, the people who know this job are in Washington and have in some form or another been lobbyists.
And so the restrictions on lobbying is either preventing or dissuading people from trying for the job?
I think it's both. I think it's preventing people because they hired Bill Lynn at the Department of Defense. I think everybody saw the controversy that was caused by that because he was a lobbyist for a company, or at least had lobbied at some point for a company. And so I think people both on both sides of it, both in terms of hiring somebody as well as in terms of people who might be seeking the job, are hesitant because of the controversy caused by that restriction.
It sounds like what you're implying, too, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but with all of the initiatives going on in Congress, and you've got a lot of angry people in Congress, that there might be punitive reform or reform that just isn't grounded in really smart business or procurement policy that could just go on like a runaway train without someone in the administration to say, wait a minute, let's be reasonable here.
I think that's exactly right. I think if you take a look what's happening with the AIG bonuses and how far that may go with corporations and people's sense of what should be done with taxpayer dollars, you know, there's a real risk that that anger really spills over into government contractors who are just doing a job for the government. They're not taking bailout money, but they're doing a job. And I think people have a perception that if you're getting federal dollars, that there's all kinds of other restrictions and requirements that now should come along with that.
So, Ms. Stiles, what does the new Office of Federal Procurement Policy face as they do look for someone to head that shop? And what do you think the biggest challenges are?
Well, I think the biggest challenges are the workforce. There's a lot of people who want a lot more oversight, who want a lot of changes in contracting, and there frankly aren't enough people in the federal government that really have the expertise in federal contracting. I think there's a concern that it's gotten off to a start that has, you know, made federal contractors look bad. The president's announcement on federal procurement came out, and it was as if, you know, federal contractors were bad companies, bad people trying to, you know, take money from the taxpayers. And I think that's got to change because you have to walk hand in hand. If you're going to make real changes to the federal procurement system, you have to work with the contractors themselves. So I think those are probably the two biggest challenges.
We're speaking with Angela Stiles. She's a partner at Crowell Mooring LLP Government Contracts Group, and she's the former administrator for federal procurement policy. That's an office in the OMB during the Bush administration. And so without contractors involved, do you think that this might sort of cool off the ardor of new sources for the government that might look at what's going on and say, no, I'm not sure I really want to sell there?
Well, I think that's a real risk. You know, I work with companies all the time who provide a lot to the private sector and a small amount to the public sector, to the federal government. And if the risks are so high or the requirements are so high, they're going to stop selling. And that's going to mean that it's going to be higher prices and less competition for the federal government. Even in this economy, a lot of companies, I think, will say, you know, if that's what comes along with it, I'm not going to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm. What about those whistleblower requirements that were recently initiated for contractors? Do you think that's had any chilling effect?
You know, people are very worried about it, but we haven't seen a chilling effect yet. I think you only see a chilling effect if you end up with a lot of companies that feel like they are in court and shouldn't have to be in court and haven't done anything wrong, and you really haven't seen that yet.
And just a final question. I get the sense that there are people that know what should be done in a lot of these areas, whether it's executive compensation or contracting or how you reward contractors, that are just maybe a little reluctant to stand up and say, you know what, there's a lot of nonsense going on and this has got to stop and we've got to get reasonable, but they're afraid of being seen as anti-administration or just not with the program as it seems to be shaping up in Congress. Do you think that maybe some of the contractor groups and big Maybe even CEOs of the major contractors ought to stand up and say, wait a minute, you need to listen to us.
I think they should, but I also think you're right. I think they're, you know, they're terrified to. They don't really know where the public perception or where politics might go with that. If you stand up and say, you know, let's be reasonable about this. We're providing a product as a service to the government, and we deserve a reasonable profit for that. But people are, I think, in this environment are a little afraid to do that.